If you have a Bible this evening, please take it with me and go to Numbers chapter 22. And I want to bring a message tonight that I've often thought about and I've often been asked about. And people will pull you aside once in a while and they'll ask you about this or that. But and the question here tonight is, what about that guy that I heard that we hear over on the TV station? How about them? I really like them. What do you think about them? And I don't listen to much of them. But over the years, some of them have made quite a, you know, an impact. And you have your sensational preachers. You have your healers. You have all kinds of things on those channels. And that's not unusual for somebody to say, hey, Brother Phil, what do you think about Brother so-and-so, or this pastor, Pastor so-and-so, or this pastor? I'll look at them and I'll say, well, if I haven't done any research, I don't have an answer. But if I have done a little research, then I'm like, okay, you want the short answer or the long answer? Because I hate to give an answer without giving a reason. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about those that proclaim they're men of God, preachers of the Word of God, but they're pretty far removed from what the Bible calls the man of God. But yet the Bible is not silent on this, and there's a lot on it in the last days in the New Testament, and I will go to the New Testament in a moment, and we'll look at some of these verses on what God says about apostasy or problems in the last day in the church and things that affect the church and these sort of things. But I want to go to the Old Testament because I love the Old Testament. Everything is foreshadowed. Everything is laid out. And I want you to look at a man in the Old Testament that surely has the earmarks of a prophet of God. But it's been declared by the scriptures in the New Testament that he was a false prophet of God. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do you tell who's a false prophet and who's not? Who's the real deal and who's not? Who's the hireling? That's a New Testament term for a man that stands in a pulpit and calls himself a preacher when in all essence he's just a hireling. And he's there for the money, the prestige, the glory, the pat on the back. He's not there for the cause of Christ. You say, well, that's a kind of an ugly topic, but it's a topic that we're warned about over and over and over again in the Word of God, and then especially in the New Testament. We're told to be careful, for the spirit of Antichrist is working in many places, and that it is today. So with that as a kind of an introduction, let me go to Numbers chapter 22 and read verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to come down to verse 22 and read a few more verses. And then we'll try to make some references to the character of this man called Balaam. And I entitled the message tonight, Who is Like Balaam? It's a question. And it's meant to jog the brain into the listener into, are there Balaams in this day and age? Surely there are no Balaams today. Well, after all, we're better now than we've ever been. I've got news for you. We're worse today than we've ever been. And it seems like there's a Balaam everywhere you look. And I notice if we'll look at the character traits of this man and see what the Old Testament has to say and the New Testament, you won't have any trouble spotting the apostate or the Balaam if you ever have to do that. And so here, look at verse 1. This is the first time in the scriptures that we're introduced to Balaam. It says here, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plain of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time, and he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. So you've got a wicked king of the nation of Moab, and Moab was one of those children of incest of Lot and his daughter. And they are all through the Bible enemies of the people of God and enemies of God. Don't ever forget that. They're religious, but they're not of God. And I speak of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he sends for a prophet of the day, and the prophet's name is Balaam. May I introduce you to Balaam the prophet of Numbers chapter 22. Come down, if you would, to Numbers 22, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went, that's Balaam, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him, that's Balaam. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and the sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. Now, the first anger we saw was, and it angered the Lord. Now we got Balaam upset. And he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now, he refers to the ass as a female, and she gets to preach a message. I always like it when God uses the animal kingdom to get the message across. Jonah never got a better message than when the whale had a little time with him. Peter never heard a better sermon till he heard the cock crow. And here old Balaam, man, he got a message from the Lord. I don't know how she spoke. Probably in a lady's voice. Man, I don't know. How? What have I done unto thee? I don't know. I just don't want to get too dramatic here. But I don't know. What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? She's no doubt an obedient servant, but she has fallen down, and Balaam has taken it out on her. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. Man, that's rough. He was upset. And the ass said unto Balaam, I don't know if I can talk like the ass again. I don't think I can. Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. In other words, she'd have been a pretty decent beast of burden here. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. I say that's probably the best position that he's had all day. The angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before men, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. Isn't it unusual that the animal could see what the prophet, so-called prophet of God, could not see? She actually saved his life three times. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Now that's a profession, a confession, but I want you to notice this. It's a false confession. Watch. He said he would do it, but he doesn't do it. Anything to save my bacon here. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the prince of Balak. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for this story where you chose one of your animal kingdom to open her mouth and preach a good message to a false prophet. I pray, God, now that you would bless the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, and may we grow by it and be warned that there are many false prophets in the world today. Save sinners, encourage the church and those that hear by way of media. Pray a blessing for them. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it. Amen. Now, Balaam is the typical hireling prophet seeking only to make a market of his gift of being a prophet. This is the way of Balaam. I'll go to the New Testament in a minute. 2 Peter 2:15, I'll use that verse a little later, characterizes false teachers, and the heir of Balaam is spoken of in Jude 11. Now, it doesn't clearly say in the book of Numbers that he's so much a false prophet. And if you just read that, you might come up with the conclusion, if you're not too clear-minded spiritually, that, well, this guy was pretty good, you know, he was okay, because after all, you know, he's just a prophet of God, and says he served the Lord there, and the Lord spoke to him and knew who the Lord was. But it doesn't ever say he's a true called man of God. And you don't pick that up till you get to the book of Jude, until you get to the book of 2 Peter, where it clearly says he was a false prophet, and it clearly says in another place that the nation of Israel actually killed Balaam, the son of Beor, because he was a false prophet. But do you know, I had a quote-unquote saved man come to me one time, and he didn't have his Bible, but I had mine. He said, Brother Phil, what do you think about Balaam? And I kind of, my eyebrow went up on the right side, went down on the left side, and I kind of cocked my mouth over to the side, and I said, I don't know. What do you think about him? You know, the Lord answered a question with a question, and that's a pretty good way to draw somebody out a little bit. And he said, man, I think he's a pretty good man. Now, he might not have been your average fundamental Baptist, but man, he was a pretty good man. And my eyebrow cocked up a little higher, and my other one went down a little lower. And the one eye got big and the one eye got little, and my mouth went over to the side, you know, like, what'd you say? I said, where are you getting this? Well, I'm just saying, I feel like he was a pretty good. And I said, well, let me stop you right there. You feel like? I don't think God cares how you feel. Why don't we go with what God says? He looked at me and says, I'm getting the feeling. There you go again with them feelings, brother. And I'm using that term loosely. He says, well, you don't think he's a man of God? I said, absolutely not. He said, but God spoke through him. I said, look, the ass is a beast of burden, as never acknowledged as a prophet or a preacher or a priest in the word of God, but God spoke through her too. That doesn't mean he's the man of God. Now, I don't know if that flew with him. I don't think it did, but I took him to Jude 11 and 2 Peter 2, 15 or 5, wherever that verse is. Let me say this. Now, the name Balaam means foreigner. How about that? You can sure tell a lot about somebody by what their name means. He's a foreigner. Unique thing about this story is Balaam's ass speaks. That's pretty unique. I say, I like that. It is rather a puzzle to grasp the character of Balaam. And that's what people struggle with. His moral nature looks like a tangled, skewed mess. He seems to be typical of those who have a great deal of spiritual knowledge, but who are more of a hindrance than a help in the Lord's work. Do you hear what I'm saying? They got a little spiritual knowledge. They've read a little of the Word of God, but when it comes to standing up and standing for the Lord Jesus Christ, because of their liberal, charismatic way, they're more a hindrance to the Word of God and the work of God than the true called man of God. God may use the mouth of a Balaam just as he may use the mouth of his ass. Just like he used the rooster, just like he used the whale. He who can make an ass to speak may make a false prophet to discern wondrous things. Amen. God does work in mysterious ways. And to say much that is most true and precious, although they themselves are utterly alien to the experience of the true call and work of God. Take your Bible for a moment and go to Philippians 1, verse 15, and I give you some New Testament before I give you a few character traits of this guy. And we're trying to figure out who is like Balaam. Who are the Balaams of the age? And you may ask and reason, well, why would we even want to know? Because I think God would want us warned, or there would be nothing said about any of that. You say, well, I thought the tares are supposed to grow up with the wheat. I'm not pulling them up. I'm just telling you who the tare is and who the wheat is. Amen. And brother, that just gets a little too tough for some folks. They say, oh man, don't talk about doctrine. Don't ever say anything about anybody else's religion. Don't ever expose it. Man, it'll ruffle the feathers of everybody. You know, we'll lose a bunch of people over that thing. You didn't have them anyway. Amen. I'm looking here. Some, Philippians 1:15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy. Now he's talking about preachers today in the church. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul speaking that, and we know Paul was the man of God for the church. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He was a defender of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not ashamed of the gospel that he preached. And like Jude, who said he was contending for the faith and raised the flag of warning against apostates and clouds that come in with no rain, and all that he has to say in his little book on apostasy for the last day for the church in the book of Jude. So this evening, what then? Notwithstanding every way, I'm in Philippians, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and rejoice. He says, I don't care if they're preaching him in contention, if they're preaching him in strife, if they're preaching Christ, and he's not saying they're all right. I'm just glad they're preaching, amen, preaching Christ. And I'm kind of there with him. And he said this, I care to know nothing about you in the book of Corinthians save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't care if you like Apollos better than Peter. I don't care if you like Peter better than me. It doesn't matter. They were carnal. So we notice our character Balaam here for a moment. In verse 22 of Numbers 22, we find he, while playing God, and that's what he was doing, he was playing the role of God, he made God mad. Amen. And brother, I don't know about you, but I just because I see that in the Word of God, and that's one of his character traits, they like to play God. They like to make you think that they, brother, are walking so close to God, and you're so far away from God, and you don't have any faith, but they have all the faith, and you've heard the spiel. And brother, they're just, one of these days, they're going to make God mad because they're none of his. Now be careful, because Balaam, he went, the angel sent him, go down there and teach him a lesson. I don't know what all he told that angel, but he told him to go down there. I just had in my mind, he said, go down there and teach him a lesson. Kill him if you have to, because man, he's made me mad now. I don't know, but that's kind of what happened. Secondly, he almost provoked his own death. These guys walk a thin line. These apostates, these Balaams, these false prophets, they walk a thin line. These guys that claim to know Christ but are none of his. These men that say, Lord, Lord, and will hear God and the Lord say one day, ye have said, Lord, Lord, but I have never knew these people right there, they're the ones that he's talking about. He almost provoked his own death. Now, I'll show you, that's in verse 23. You can look at it. I read some of those passages, 22, 23. I think I read it. We have the account of the ass. She speaks, and she, by the way, her message is 40, the words she speaks are 41 in number. And I don't know the significance of that. But I noticed she didn't speak a lot. Verse 28 and verse 30 have that. But the very fact that God chose to record that and let you have that, even if God can't get anybody else to speak up, even if God don't have any other God-called man around or saved woman around or saved person around, he can let the ass, the beast of burden, do the preaching if he has to. And I showed you there in verse 34. I couldn't pass that up in 32. And 22:34, and let me show you that again. He says, and the Lord said unto, let me get in the right place, Numbers 22:34, here we go. He says here, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. Now that was truth, but I don't think he really believed it. And he says, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back. He wasn't going any place. You say, why? I'll show you in a minute. You say, what was that? A false profession. They'll tell you anything you want to hear. They'll say anything to God that God they think God wants to hear. He met a false god, verse 41, Baal. Look at verse 41. And it came to pass on the morrow, Balak took Balaam and brought him up in the high place of Baal. He didn't go to God the Father. He went to Baal, a pagan. Man, you got to watch those bees. Bezor, Balak, Balaam, basketball. Oh, sorry. How'd that get in there? I'm in trouble now. I'll get all them hate buttons, okay? We have the account of the ass speaking. Let me say this. He makes a false profession. I did. Let me say this. He goes with Balak and offers three sacrifices. Notice he just, he met Baal. Not look in verse, look in chapter 23, verse 1. He says there, he's just met Baal. He says, and Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. Now, yeah, God works by sevens, but that don't mean the man's called of God. You say, what's he getting ready to do? He's getting ready to offer a sacrifice he has no business offering. And watch this thing. He says there in verse 1, look at verse 14. He says in 23, and he brought him into the field of Zophon to the top of Pisgah and built 7 altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And then down in verse 27, he says, and Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee into another place. Peradventure, it will please God. Well, they're doing all they can do after meeting Balaam or after meeting Baal, trying to please God, that thou mayest curse me them from hence. And brother, they wanted something God wasn't going to do. Because you remember, God said, those that curse the nation of Israel will have the curse upon them. He couldn't curse the nation of Israel. But man, he was sure trying, all in the name of God. You say, what is he? He's an apostate. He's a false prophet. He's a preacher not worth his salt. He's a hireling. You say, oh, all that? Yeah, all that. So he goes and he offers that sacrifice. And I'm reminded of what Paul tells the backslidden Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the church needs to be aware of this and watch who she mingles with and who she flirts with. And could I say this? Who she fornicates with. Amen. And everybody, oh, that's a bad word. No, it's a word. And when, man, you get to messing around with other spirits, you're having spiritual fornication, and that's not pleasing to God. And the false prophet will make sure that you do that. Be careful. In 1 Corinthians 10, 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. That's what we're dealing with here. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? No, you're not stronger than he. And yes, you provoke him to jealousy if you belong to God. So you got to watch out. And this is like a warning that's put out in the Word of God. He is finally killed. I wanted to show this to you before I sum everything up here. He's finally killed. And you know what the Lord says? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and God will repay. But look in chapter 31 there. You're in Numbers 31. And you follow this character out, this false prophet out, and you find out about down at verse 8, and God begins to judge the Midianites and the Moabites and all these people that rose up against the nation of Israel. Now watch this down in verse 8. And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and that's E-V-I, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian, Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. You know, I thought the children of Israel were just supposed to kill all the wicked. That's what they were doing. But then somebody will come along. Man, that Balaam, man, he's a class act. Man, I really like him. That guy, bro, I tell you what, he knew what he was doing. Man, you're delusional. Take your Bible and go to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, God killed him. You say, why? He was a hireling. Look in 2 Peter. Now, God might not kill every hireling, and because he's not killing every hireling, he wants you to know how to spot the apostate. 2 Peter, I'm getting there. Peter was pretty knowledgeable when it come to discernment and discerning what's good and what's not good, especially when it come to the preaching of the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he writes this, at about verse 15. He says, which have forsaken the right way. Now he's talking about, I should back up a verse or two probably. Look at verse 14. Having eyes full of adulteries and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Say, who's he talking about? He's talking about spiritual adulterers. And adultery is worshiping other gods. God calls that adultery and fornication. And could I submit this? That goes on today. And God don't bless a church that's involved in that kind of spiritual activity. Now, I'm not talking about the physical side of that thing. I'm talking about the spiritual side of that thing. And that's what Peter's talking about. And watch what he does. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way. No, they're not going the right way. And are gone astray. Yeah, that's those guys that stand up and say, oh, I believe the Bible. I'm King James all the way. And they'll say it, but they don't believe it. And as soon as they get out of your sight, they're committing some kind of adultery, fornication, and they're flirting around with other spirits and other devils and other doctrines. Watch what he says. Following the way of Balaam. Balaam? Would you just pull that out of the clear blue sky? No. That's because he's a false prophet. Was a false prophet in the beginning, was a false prophet all the way through, and somebody's going to stand up. Oh, he knew God. He knew the Lord. So I know he was okay. Yeah, let me tell you something. The devils know God. We heard this morning that the devil was in the presence of God. That don't mean he's of God. That doesn't mean he's a ministering spirit for God. He's still the devil. And man, people just can't get that through their head today, that there's devils out there and other spirits out there, and they want to mess you up, and they want to tear the church up, tear the Word of God up, tear the real man of God up, while they propagate themselves, all the while being a hireling. Man, I said a lot tonight. I'm in trouble. Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Wages? Well, don't that equate into money? Yeah, he was doing this job for Balak for money. Oh, yeah. Say, well, one of the earmarks of a false prophet is they're always worried about money. They got to have money. They want your money. They want everybody's money. They can't keep their hand, I was on it in Sunday school, out of the till. Man, they're dragging it out to do this and do that. And they'll always keep it quiet, and you'll never get a quarterly report. You'll never know what's going on in the church because they don't want you to know because they're hirelings. That's all over the land, all over the land. That's one of the things about traveling all the time and in these churches and going into churches and I can tell you story after story of pastors that have taken churches that have been spiritually molested by another so-called man of God, hirelings. So here in 2 Peter 2:15, take your Bible and go to Jude 11. Jude 11th verse. Woe unto them, and he's talking about apostate teachers, and he describes them. So no Bible-believing person that's saved by the grace of God and in a good church, that's been in the church that preaches the truth, should be ignorant of false teachers and false preachers. Watch this. Likewise, also there are filthy dreamers, defile them in verse 8, defile the flesh, despise dominion, to speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And that's kind of how we handle that thing. Verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. He's talking about the hireling here. Watch it. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam. Oh my. Why do you think he included that? Because he was a false prophet. For reward and perished in the gainsayers' accord. And he gives you a few names there. And the first thing a hireling will say, oh, don't say nothing about anybody else's religion. Oh, don't say nothing. Don't use any names in the pulpit. You'll make somebody mad. Yeah. Yeah, and the next thing you know, they'll have your church and they'll be running over you. So the hireling always speaks for his reward or for his hire. Take your Bible and go back to Job chapter 7. In Job chapter 7, this is we learned this morning in the message that Job's possibly the oldest book in the Bible. And as a preacher brought his text from the chapter 1 of Job, then look in Job chapter 7, verse 2, and look what he says, a very wise man, a very understanding man, a man of wisdom and knowledge. But he says this in verse 1 and verse 2, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Answer to that thing is yes. Are not his days also like the days, watch it, of an hireling? What's that about? Well, the hireling's going to succumb at God's timing. Watch it. As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and an hireling looketh for the reward of his work. Yeah, watch out for those guys. Well, I guess one of the quickest ways to spot them is they want your money. Send your money in. Send them in. We'll pray for you. We'll even send you a little thread. And I got one somewhere. I mailed that in. I knew what it was, but I wanted it so I could show it to people. And I would show them that thread. And I can't even remember which one it was, but they sent me that thread. I didn't send any money. I said, send the thread. I'll send the money. Did you send the money? No. You say, why? It says, answer a fool according to his folly. Then it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. So I didn't answer him. Brother Phil, you tricked him. No, I didn't trick him. As a matter of fact, I think it was given to me by somebody else. I said, if you sent the money and you have that, I want it. And I think they gave it to me. And I still in my file somewhere, I have that letter from that guy. And I'm supposed to take the thread, lay it up in my windowsill on the first day of the month and leave it there 7 days and pray over that thing and then send $50. And then before the year was out, I'd get $500. I didn't do it because I didn't want to hold my breath that long. Amen. All right. So John 10, 12, 13. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. You have a hireling always wants the money and don't mind scattering the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You say, what's he care about? Cares about himself and cares about money. And Balaam was a soothsayer. I don't know if you knew that. I probably forgot to tell you that. But in Joshua chapter 13, verse 22, it says, Balaam also the son of Beor, the soothsayer. Now, you can't be a man of God and a soothsayer. You just can't be that. So he said, the soothsayer did the children of Israel play with the sword. Balaam found a way to curse them. Say, how'd he do it? Numbers chapter 31, verse 16. You say, how did he do it? We couldn't get God to do it. So he said, I'm going to tell your men to go in and marry wives of the Moabites and the Midianites and intermingle with all that crowd. And then the next thing you know, they'll have them bowing to Balaam, that God. And then you'll have your way. And then they'll succumb and God will get mad at them because they sinned and went after Ida. Oh, he was a slick cookie, and the devil is. He's the master of deception. And brother, you better learn how to spot one of those birds. You say, why? But I'm doing good. I live in the Midwestern United States. It's conservative here, nothing going on. I tell you what, we live in the age of automation and TV and technology. And brother, you can tune it in anywhere you want. And brother, I'll guarantee this, they'll always want your money. You say, Brother Phil, what kind of message is this? It's a warning message. Paul warned the church of God. He feared that when he left, that grievous wolves would come in. You say, what are you talking about? Yeah, who are these people? Man, you better watch out who they are and who you get in to do your preaching and your singing and all your other stuff. You say, why? Well, we live in that time, brother. We live in that time. And I don't mind sounding the signal. You know what? My sufficiency is not in you. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I thank God for you, and I appreciate all the help that you've helped me with or any other man of God. But the true man of God, he trusts in God. In the late hour, he's still trusting in God. And every child of God needs to do that, trust in God. So tonight, that's my message, and it's a message, it's a warning type message for the church who is like Balaam. Don't be afraid. You're supposed to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So you're allowed with the scriptures to prove who is or who isn't selling you a bill of goods.